I've traveled every road in Pennsylvania.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I crossed the
yeah.
Fair, man. I breathe my
so, welcome to Barnstorm.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on. This is Taylor Lightman, one of the intrepid co-hosts here of the podcast. My other half, Jordy Comas, is out today. So it'll just be me. And for first-time listeners, we are a political/cultural podcast covering politics in Pennsylvania. And today we actually have a local candidate on. We've been doing statewide judicial candidates, but we have a local candidate, Dan Greek, who's running for township supervisor of Union Township in Union County, Winfield, PA, if you've ever been. Welcome, Dan. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah. And do you want to just start off by telling us a little bit about yourself? I know you. I took Taekwondo from you many years ago.
I've been pretty much a resident of this area for my whole life. Lived in Salinsburg for quite a while. And in 2004, I moved my Taekwondo school from, I call it East Lewisburg, but it's Montandon area, here to Winfield in the old Baptist church, right where Park Road and 304 intersect. And I've been here since that. 3 years later, we bought the house next door to this building, and that was the old parsonage for the church, and we lived there. So we've been living here for quite a while. I started teaching Taekwondo in 1990, started at Heartland Health and Fitness, and then moved right next door to the building as the business expanded that way. And like I said, we moved here in 2004. Taught thousands and thousands and thousands of people through the years. They come and go, different things. Life takes them different ways, and schooling and sports and families and just moving out of the area. So we've got a lot of people that I've worked with through here. I've also started a business, Dan Greek Home Improvement, since 1985. And I run that by myself. I had employees for a while back in the early, well, from 86 to about 92-ish. And now I just do it by myself, or if I have another contractor that's specialized in what I'm doing, I'm working with them, but we do it together.
How did you initially get interested and trained in Taekwondo?
I always really enjoyed martial arts when I was a child, growing up, seeing, I didn't watch a bunch of the Bruce Lee movies and all that stuff. I liked the Kung Fu series was, and the Billy Jack was a series that I liked as a child. And they stood up for the spiritual values of things more than just the martial arts, the movement part of it. But it was always something I was really, really interested in doing. And then I started on March 1st of 1985, taking classes in Salinsburg. And then in 1994, I met with a new instructor, Master Jim Murray from Pottstown. And he was actually in the Encyclopedia of Taekwondo and studied with General Shea, the founding father. So I learned a tremendous amount more in my experience with him, and also he had a spiritual side to things too as well, that wasn't just you know, about the punching and kicking and stuff, but it was really just the way he carried himself. He was a good mentor for anybody. So and he retired since then, but I keep going. I have some other schools that are affiliated with us. We're part of the Yamchi Taekwondo Federation, which Yamchi is the Korean word for integrity, so we keep everything the same. We don't change anything, add any belts, or that's all sort of stuff that makes the cash register cha-ching a little bit faster when you add a lot of extra stuff. But we keep it very, very traditional. And like I said, just a good holistic program for families. All of our classes, families can take together, the parents and the children, all at one time. And that's a really great experience for them too. So kids will really learn a lot by watching their parents and doing what they do. Sometimes they get to an age, everybody knows that their words don't mean as much. They're sort of full of mud, but it's their actions and who they are. And so they see their parents working on something, and if they can't get a technique or something like that. They see them work through it and how they do it, and that's how they'll emulate it too.
What do you hope your students learn or take away from the experience of training with you?
Basically just to be a better person. So we work on the tenets every day. We talk about them in the classes, not just the techniques, but it's courtesy, integrity, perseverance, self-control, and abdominal spirit.
And can you say those one more time?
Yep. Courtesy, integrity, perseverance, self-control, and indomitable spirit. So
what on earth are you doing running for office?
Well, I got into this. I inquired about it many years ago, and Dave Jacobson was running at the time, and he came to me, and a couple of other people had come to me and asked me if I would run for supervisor, because they know who I am and that I do things with integrity, and that's what they wanted some change here, and it's not just from one side of the political spectrum. It's both sides have been coming to me and asking me. So it's not like I need a lot more things to do in my life, but with four children and two of them grown and on their own, but and two businesses, but they know that I'll do the right thing and listen to people and talk to people and hear what they need and see if we can get that done for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And all politics is local. I'm a big believer in that. And the job of a local politician is mostly about listening to people and making sure that people feel like they have an advocate in the room. And so Union Township, I mean, it's mostly Winfield, but it extends further west. And I mean, you're sort of in, you know, if we could call it downtown Winfield, like that's where you're living.
Yeah, it goes out through Dry Valley, and it goes up to Monroe Township, borders Monroe Township, and it goes all the way down to actually Chickahominy State Park, the one that's on the hill up there, top of the mountain, and of course we're bordered by East Buffalo Township to the north of us, and Limestone Township, I believe it is, that's to the west of us. So it's a broad area. It was at one time sort of a center location when the canals were through here and, you know, for trade and stuff like that. And then the railroads followed the canals, and then the roads followed the railroads. And that's how we have 15 and all these highways that come through here right now. So things have changed over the years. It was a lot easier back then and less traffic, obviously. But now it's just getting pretty complicated, and a lot of problems have arise because of the amount of industry and the other things that are impacting our area here.
It's unfortunate. It seems as though Winfield never fully recovered from having Route 15 basically go right through the middle of town.
Yeah, it's really loud here. There's a real noise problem here. We need to do something about the Jake brakes that they're using. It's just easy to put up a sign and hopefully to get some of that reinforced. Speed control is another thing that lately the local or the state police have been doing 15 near the bridge, the new bridge going through around that area and down. But the whole area needs some kind of traffic speed control and noise control.
Before we get too far into the issues that are facing the residents, if you could just explain to me what a township supervisor does, and particularly a township supervisor in Union Township.
Well, we address the problems that people come to us with, or they need, something they want to build and discuss it. It should be done within the laws that are made there. And if something needs to be engineered, it should be engineered by a person that is an engineer, and not just by one of the guys here. It just needs to be done in the right way. And just for me to sort of protect the area, that makes sure it doesn't turn into something, that it shouldn't be. With this new highway coming through here, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for people outside of our area to just put up a business here that maybe we don't want, like a bar or a strip club or a
something like that.
Or anything, you know, and you know, you just got to put protections up to protect our residents here.
And as I understand it, there's currently no nothing stopping that from happening because there's no zoning or like a zoning hearing board.
Is that correct? There's no zoning here at all. There was, I was talking with the zoning commission and he was telling me there was zoning planned a while back and then it was just abruptly stopped. I'd like to see zoning put into place, and I'm not talking like a really strict zoning. Pretty much everybody's going to be able to enjoy the relaxed zoning that they have now, or there is no zoning, but I mean the relaxed, they can burn papers out back, or they can put a shed up or do, you know, that kind of thing is normal and shouldn't be really something anybody should be telling them not to do. I'm just looking really to put zoning in place that just specifically spells out that we're not going to have a landfill here because we have a quarry out here that's being emptied out and it's going to be a big hole in the ground. That has real potential and it's just going to be a business that doesn't affect them. It affects us. Everybody in Dry Valley and east of that is going to have to smell that and put up with what happens to the water table if that leaks into it. So it's to have zoning is just really just to protect us from things coming in here that we won't want, like a landfill or, you know, right now,
I mean,
anybody could open a bar up anywhere right next door to you and you know, you don't know if it's going to be a decent establishment or what it's going to turn into. So
I can easily imagine a nightmare scenario where, because there is an exit just south of Winfield in Union Township, the village of Winfield, it's still Winfield. I could easily imagine a nightmare scenario where that all gets completely developed into, you know, some strip mall with a bunch of strip clubs and nightclubs and all kinds of crazy stuff that is just constantly polluting night or polluting noise and light and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, if you travel from south of Salemsgrove down to Dolphin, you know, I don't know how many are down through there, but it's crazy how many adult bookstores are down through there and strip clubs and everything like that. And that's just a zoning situation. And those residents should be protected to have, they don't want that. I don't want that in my backyard. And I know that most of the people that I talk to, everybody that I talk to doesn't want that in their backyard. So I'm sure that other people don't either, but. And, you know, just to take care of this place. At one point in history, there was three slaughterhouses here right in the village, up the Park Road a little bit. And three of them here really on Park Road they were. And they would actually take the animals and butcher them at the, and put all the guts and blood and everything into the creek and just let it, you know, float away like I got rid of the problem. So thankfully, things were put in place to stop that. But we just, this is a new time and we got to have new thinking. We have a huge water problem here with runoff. And there was a storage buildings that were allowed to be put in a flood zone over there and filled in, which displaces a million gallons of water. And so a 72 flood would have put about 8 inches to 10 inches on my first floor of my house. But now with that displaced, the houses even on the other side of the street are going to have that much in there. I'm going to have, you know, 4 or 5 feet. The ground now is about 2 feet higher than my floor level in my home. So what really needs to be done too, as a supervisor, I would want to look into getting some grant money or something to help, but the tributaries that run and the fields that run off through Dry Valley and whatnot, if there could be catch basins placed strategically that would help hold some of that water back and not threaten anybody's home all the way down through that whole area, that whole region.
Absolutely. And not even catch basins, but just planting some trees and having some riparian buffers would really go a long ways to helping the runoff.
The side over there, that property should have been considered to be, you know, bought with a grant and made into that kind of catch basin, because the only way the water can get through right down here is at the underpass right there where at 15, right, just south of the red light there. And that's the only way the water can get out. And as you get more and more, like in the year 2000, I believe it was, there was a 5-inch rain in Dry Valley, and the water was actually splashing up over the highway there. It couldn't get out and caused a real big flash flood here. So with a little bit of foresight in the future and think about the future and what can help people, and that's really what I want to do, is just to make our lives a little bit better here and hopefully a little quieter and safer. So we don't have to, every time we get a rain, everybody has to be spooked. What's going to happen? You know, are we going to get nailed this time? Is it this time? Or is it next time? So,
yeah. And I would imagine that a large percentage of Winfield, even though the perception is that it's mostly farmland, but I would imagine that a pretty large percentage of the people actually do live in the 100-year flood zone in Winfield.
Yeah, there's quite a few on the other side of the highway.
That's from a river flood, yeah.
And part of our area here is 100-year, and part of it's 500-year flood zone in here. But since I bought this place in 2004 to 2011, there's been 6 floods in the top 20. So I guess they're going to have to update the calendar a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So downtown Winfield, what can we do to make downtown Winfield a better place to be and to buy a home and maybe have a store?
For downtown Winfield, and this would include all of out 304 and Park Road, especially anytime you get off of those roads, the curves of the roads and things like that naturally just slow you down. But they fly through here coming off the highway, and they're going out 304. You can, you know, they're just flying out through there. It's and up the same with Park Road, and so we need to have some sort of speed control down here, whether it's electronic devices. I know from right here in the village, there's a 2 stop signs. It's a 3-way intersection and the 2 stop signs here, but being conservative, 9 out of 10 people don't stop at the stop sign, and some of them don't even
know.
They just fly through there. So, you know, it's really dangerous here, and we just, you know, we need to have, even if it's electronic, to some monitor to that. So when you go through villages like New Berlin and Harlton now, everybody knows to go the speed limit, because you're going to get nailed if you don't, and you hardly even see police force out there, but everybody slows down and does that. And that just would be something that would make this a nicer place to live. And hopefully with this, you know, bypass going through here, that some of the traffic will be alleviated through here. This, you know, started off as a dirt road and a central place to come and, you know, for the farmers to bring their grain and their livestock and things like that. But now it's turned into a, you know, a real throughway to get to the highway to get to your next destination.
And you know, just to reiterate that helping cars go a proper speed there, a safe speed, would make it a lot less noisy, a lot more safe, and a nicer place to live.
Like I said, they fly through 55 miles an hour, literally almost completely off the ground when they go over the hump down the Park Road.
Wow.
There's just no way that they could possibly stop at something where someone missed the stop sign there, and that happens often. So
something on everybody's mind, I know, in the greater Winfield area is the Winfield Carnival. It was beloved by many, and it's no longer an institution in Winfield. Do you have the scoop on that?
I think it was just they couldn't get the attendance and the help. It'd be better to talk to someone from the fire company to give you all of that. But from the guys that I have talked to, they're from that, you know, they're trying to find other ways to raise money for the fire company. And that's really what the carnival was for. It was nice to bring, you know, the community and other communities into this. You know, hopefully someday that would come back, you know, with maybe a little bit of work and cooperation from everybody. You know, that could come back. But I think as a village here, or as a township, actually, we have to come together more often in some way, because we're drifting further apart. You know, everybody speaks of climate change, you know, and all this stuff, but the climate change is so much deeper than just what we're doing to the earth. It's our relationship with everybody. Humans just are so entitled and one-sided, and they don't listen to anybody. They don't talk. Most people don't even know who their neighbors are in towns anymore, or have a conversation. Fortunately, we do here in our village, but, you know, and I hope the other communities, you know, the other areas around here, the developments do that as well. But the carnival, something like the carnival, is really nice to bring people together, and you see each other and you catch up. You know, life is busy and you have a lot of things to do, but something like that would be nice to come back together.
I really like that idea about sort of a, like a social dislocation that we're going through. I mean, it's absolutely not particular to Winfield. It's kind of a national thing. What would you call that? Is social dislocation close? Because it seems like you're talking about something larger that's in the air.
It's really people in general have more of a sense of entitlement, it seems to me, rather than a responsibility to each other. And it comes out in the way they talk to each other. So someone will say, oh, you're from this party, you're this, or you're from that party, or that. And that's really just a whole bunch of different prejudices. And, you know, unfortunately, the last presidential cycle brought that out even worse. And everybody, it just let out all these narcissists in the world. They're all just blasting. It's like they don't have any feeling or regard for anybody. And it's really sad. And you have to talk to people and listen to people. And they just, they're either one side. It's sort of black and white. And this, the world isn't black or white. It's got all kinds of different shades of everything in it. And we have to respect all that. And that's just not us. I mean, we have to respect the land and the earth and the animals and everything else we're doing. We just keep taking stuff. And with no regard that it had a spirit or it has anything, you know, we just take it. And that's what's wrong. That's what's wrong with the planet. That's wrong with everything. So I can't fix that locally here. I fix that with people that I talk to as far as being who I am. I can only do what I can do. And hopefully that spreads out. So we were talking earlier about my students, that spreads out with them, and they take that home and that goes out into their work. And if we can have an atmosphere like that here in this township with each other, we'd all be better off for it. We'd all be better off for it. And we would get the things done that we need to get done instead of arguing and you're this or you're that. The name calling sounds like fourth grade bully tactic stuff. And that just has to end. That just has to end.
I think the most disappointing thing about becoming an adult for me has been just understanding how rudderless and childish most of our leaders are. I want to ask you, like, how has your life philosophy, like, I imagine that's just on a collision course with modern politics, which is so partisan and oppositional. How has that collided, or how have you tried to incorporate your value system as you campaign?
Well, it's a head-on collision spot. But the thing is, you go back to integrity, and the truth is the truth. No matter what, you know, people can believe things and think things and listen to things, but let's get back to the truth of what needs to be done and what, you know, or what has happened, or what needs to be repaired. The truth is the truth. There were lots of mistakes made in the past by lots of people. To try to cover them up and ignore them and act like they didn't happen, that's not going to work. That's not going to, you got to fix this. You got to go back. And that takes the work. And most people don't want to do the work. They just want to, let's just get to the next thing and it'll go away. And it doesn't go away. It hasn't gone away. All the problems that were had and they said would go away are all surfacing now, and we have some major problems, and it's not going to get any better. So, and that's on a whole world basis, but locally, you know, we just have to really, the truth is the truth. If things weren't done right, that's a fact. You can't hide it. Just, it's not going to make it any better. Let's just fix it. Let's just make it right. Let's find a way to do that.
I think an essential problem in that forces our leaders to behave so poorly is that seeking these transformational changes is often long-term work, and politics rewards short-term success.
Yeah.
Fortunately, you're on a six-year term, so that's a longer term than most elected offices. But have you seen or have you thought about that kind of dichotomy at all?
The thing what I think you're trying to ask me there about is the length that I'll be serving. You know, I'm going to do it the same way with honesty and integrity and everything like that, and hopefully that people will feel comfortable enough to come and talk to me about what they're looking for. And we'll see if we can find a solution. And if we can't find a solution, we can find someone else that can help with that solution. I've done that in home improvement business, you know, since 1985. So we just have to get past the name calling and all the anger, because it's not going to really solve anything. Of course, you're angry, but let's not be angry with each other. Let's work together on that. You know, let's see what we can do with that. And an openness. So I'd like to see all the meetings, a Zoom meeting that people can listen in on. You know, they don't have to come into the meeting, but there's transparency right there. And, you know, hopefully people will watch how they talk about people and, you know, be a little bit more proper than just do a name calling or refer to someone as a pain in the butt or whatever. You know, just, you know, these things need to be addressed. They're upset and they keep saying something and you're not listening to them, so they're not going to get less upset.
Yeah. I'm actually going to ask you if there's anything else you'd like to say, and then I'm going to ask you the last question actually.
Okay. No, I'm just, like I said, I'm running because I was asked by several people to do this. And, you know, I care about this community here, this township. I care about the ground and everything that lives here. I want to see it not be destroyed. I'd like to see our values here protected. You know, I don't want to see any industry or anything come in here that's going to just wreck it and leave it, like in most places. So I'd like to see those protections be put in place here for us, so that, and something to help maybe alleviate some of the flooding here, like the smaller flooding, the flash floodings. I know there's not much we can do about, you know, the big floods that has to go somewhere, but there is something that we can do to help us all with the flash flooding here. And that's for the whole township, not just here in the village, but everywhere.
Excellent. And then I'm going to end by asking you for some book recommendations.
Joe Eagle Elk. These are all Native American books. Zola. Lame Deer. Read any books that you can read that speak of Native American respect for the earth and the way that they understood things. And there's another book called Columbus and Other Cannibals, and they talk not necessarily about eating people, but how the European mind came here and economy and just takes and devours everything. That we take care of our place here a little bit more, have respect. So those are the things I would recommend to you.
Excellent. How can people follow up, keep up with your campaign?
I'm on Facebook, Dan Greek for Supervisor. On Facebook is a good way to do that. And I have a school here. Stop by, say hi, ask me questions. If anybody wants to have me come out and meet with you, I'd gladly come out and do that with a group of people or individually, whatever. But I'm not really big on knocking on everybody's doors all the time on the weekend. Everybody likes to have their time off. So if anybody's interested in getting a group of people together and you can ask me questions and meet me and know who I am. It'd be great.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
travel like a hell.